Now, here are your hosts, John Sandler and Curtis Terry.
Welcome to Bailiwick here inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino. Runner Rebel Coaches Show featuring head coach T.J. Otzelberger with you once again. Great to be here. Rebels winners of five straight at home, 5-1 in Mountain West Conference play with the win last night over San Jose State, and feeling pretty good about things heading into a very, very difficult stretch of the schedule. Hi, everybody. I'm John Sandler along with Curtis Terry and the head coach, T.J. Otzelberger. Great to be with you. And, Coach, we were talking a little bit before the show started. That show that game was kind of a pain for a while last night. San Jose State does not make it easy.
No, they're playing with a lot more confidence. They've got guys that can, you know, in transition, they can knock down the perimeter shot, and then they've got others that can go off the dribble. So I think their length defensively, they can cause some trouble. They can get out in transition, and it took us a while to kind of get our rhythm and settle in on the game.
Curtis, matchup zone defense that the Rebels played last night took them a while to kind of figure out what to do and where to go. You kind of laid out some of the basics that you have to do against it, but if you don't play against it a lot, you're going to struggle a bit, and the Rebels did for a while.
Yeah, I think anything new or first time you kind of see is always an adjustment period, and I think this team has shown that. I mean, Air Force, for example, coming out a different kind of defense that they're playing, not quite sure what you're going to go to. First couple possessions, a little rocky, but Marvin led the troops, and those guys figured it out and started to lay out the game plan. And what really opened things up was being able to come off that pick and roll and throw the ball up to Mbake. Because you put that defender in the position of pick your poison. Do you step up and stop the guard, or do you fall back? And that kind of really opened things up because the guys seemed to figure it out. But it was a lot of fun. And I think next time they see that, they're going to be even more prepared. But good thing that's a ways away. We got some time before then.
And you used the word prepared, and we've talked about it before. This Rebel team continues to be extremely well prepared for each of these games. And, Coach, I know you and your staff take a lot of pride in that. You obviously saw that pick and roll to Mbake was going to work because you used it in the very first play. And you knew what you needed to do against the matchup zone defense. Just took a while for the guys to get into rhythm and figure out how to execute it.
We talked a lot in preparation about the pace and the flow that we needed to play with. And I think we saw at points in the second half when our guys really embraced that and got out and ran. And I think a lot of times you can overthink things and try to out-execute yourself, and the timing maybe isn't quite what you think. We told our guys it was going to be a little bit unpredictable, but if we get the ball out, we hit ahead, we push it in transition and get them scrambling and playing from behind the play. Don't let the ball stop moving. When we did that, our guys were successful.
I was impressed with the guys kind of figuring out how to get the ball into the lane, and whether it was an interior pass or a kick out from there, that getting the ball in the middle of that zone, regardless of what kind of zone, seems to be the key.
It does, and I think they get spread out and stretch out guarding the perimeter. We did a great job. Tillman, Hamilton, guys getting in the middle of there, getting some catches, Nick Blair, and making plays, and then our guards attack downhill. And I think once you get in there, then it just comes down to making the right decision and the right read, and our guys did a great job sharing the ball and finding a way to do that.
We mentioned it last night, 23 assists in the basketball game. 23 assists, 31 made field goals. You'll take that ratio every single night.
We will, and I think some of those turnovers even came late, maybe when the game was in balance. But what Marvin's done for us is not only it's his leadership, it's the unselfish play, but it's the play of passion for this team, this university. And it creates a thing on our team where other guys want to share the ball. Other guys want to make the play for each other, and it's a credit to Marvin. He's really helped us reinvent and transcend our ball club. Credit to him.
Well, he's sitting right in front of us. He's going to be our guest on the second half of the show. But it brings up a point. You mentioned it, passion for the game, but passion for the team and representing the city. You and your staff have focused, not exclusively, but primarily on local kids in recruiting for next year, and we'll see about going forward. I know that was absolutely intentional and purposeful.
Well, I'm pretty sure that the level of gratitude Marvin has for the position he has in our program and how hard he plays every night, it's really important to him. He grew up going to camps here. He grew up in the community. His coaches that he played for are coming to his games. People in the community have seen him play. And you can tell it's a credit to his character, his work ethic, but how important it is to him that UNLV basketball does well. We want other young men to come in our program and follow that lead that he set for us and continue to build this program moving forward.
Curtis, this is your adopted home, but it is now your home,
mm-hmm.
and you can probably understand exactly what Coach is talking about.
Oh, 100% without a doubt. I mean, I was in Marvin's shoes years and years ago, only like three or four, but it's just about having that passion. I think that's the biggest difference, the purpose of what you're playing for. You can always go out there and try to play for stats and play for wins, but those can be empty, in my opinion. And the real difference is making sure that you're all on the same page and just striving to be your best. And these guys are starting to do that and gel as a unit. And it's fun to watch. And for me, brings back a lot of memories because just going through the community, people are saying, oh, we saw the game last night. Those guys are playing great. What do you think? And how is the season going to go? What do you think of Coach? I'm like, oh, he's not that nice of a guy. But it's just about that passion because that's what propels it all. Because in this city, we know about the Golden Knights. We know the Raiders are coming in. But at the root and at the core of it is UNLV basketball. And it's a staple of this community. And it's something that carries a lot of pride. And it just the community feels different, at least to me, when things are going good in the program, not just wins or losses, but heading in the right direction. And I think that's what it's all about. We're starting here, but we're not nowhere near finished, I don't think.
Oh, absolutely not. And I mean, it's the beginning of the beginning in terms of Coach building his program. But I think your point is well taken that I describe it as, you know, very dry tinder. This town will erupt when the Rebels get back to their winning ways on a consistent basis. You see bits and pieces of it over the years since you and I have been involved in the program. Coach is seeing it now as the Rebels have gone on this winning streak at home and have built this nice record early. You know you've got much tougher, at least on paper, opponents coming up, and it'll be a challenge. But has it given you an indication of what's possible in terms of success here as a basketball program, fan support, and everything that means?
We know that if we work hard every single day that the results will follow, and that's we've said that from the first day we've come in, and we continue to maintain that. And our guys, there isn't a secret formula, there isn't. And so we've seen glimpses and bits and pieces. We've seen stretches in games. You know, I'm still somebody that breaks our games down to the finite details of what things we needed to do better and when and why and how and how can I be a better coach and what things do we need to do in the moment. But we are seeing some of the energy in Thomas and Mac felt really good yesterday. We're seeing some people that maybe hadn't come to games starting to come back. And so we're seeing some of those signs. As far as our program and our team goes, they know it's business as usual every day. Roll up our sleeves, work hard, and that'll take care of itself.
It is, and Curtis and I were talking about it, because we've seen it. Because the program has had ups and downs, but obviously, you know, the pinnacle of success in the early 90s, up and down since then. But when those ups start, as you said, you start seeing more people, but you just get the buzz, you just get that feeling. And I think that's one of the things that makes this program in this community special.
Well, the program has meant so much to the community as Las Vegas has grown. And then you think about it, all the stories and all the passionate fans that come up and talk to me and say, hey, when we went to the game as our family, or we were at games at the convention center, or we remember, yep, you know, this team and that game and all those stories, that's life stuff. That brings people together. That brings families together. That brings communities together. And this program has been a big part of that, and we want to continue to serve in that way for this community.
Yeah, it's exciting, and it's exciting to see the future.
It is, but it's funny. I was at Bonanza High School today, and they're – athletic director, or senior administrator for athletics. I walk in, he's nice to meet you. He's like, Curtis Terry from UNLV. I was, yeah, minus the hair. And he went right to, I used to watch the team back when I was 10 at the convention center. And just all those memories. He's like, I'm glad that there's excitement around. Like, those things to me are huge. But
yeah,
That's, again, because all the hard work that these guys are currently doing to keep that, not a dream, but just keep that energy and just keep that vibe going. Because it's so special. It can't go without being said how many people in the community feel the same way.
Yeah, and I think one of the things we talked about a little bit on the postgame show last night, one of the things that has gotten people excited is their understanding, they're beginning to know Coach and his staff and the way you guys approach things. No fooling around, discipline, attention to detail. Someone makes a mistake, there's consequences for it, and then move on. And I think the town respects that, and I think they're actually excited about it.
Well, we hired guys on our coaching staff that have tremendous character and work ethic. They're great teachers of the game. and they're guys that are about everything that's right in college athletics, mentoring young men and teaching them life lessons. I think my main responsibility, winning basketball games, is really, really important. We spend 17, 18 hours a day, every day, trying to make sure that we're putting our team in position to do that. But more than that, we want to see these guys go on to be successful in life, successful husbands, fathers, businessmen, community leaders. And so I think it's really important that you teach them that accountability and discipline. I've never been a part of any team, organization, or group in my life that was successful that didn't have a high, high level of accountability and discipline. And it's my job to instill that clarity throughout our organization and uphold that standard. And I'm going to do my job.
I think, and this is an impression, Curtis, you're around young athletes, student athletes at the high school level a lot. My wife's a teacher. I would say that accountability and discipline are not the first two words that come to mind when you describe young people today. And I'm kind of laughing at it, but it is an issue. And Coach, I know when you recruit, that's something that you look for in terms of character.
Well, I'm not sure how much, kids have changed as much as adults at what we've allowed our young people to do and get away with. I think a lot of times we don't want to tell them the truth. We don't want to tell them, we don't want them to experience adversity. We don't want them to have challenges. So if they don't get their way or things don't go what they want, we blame a teacher, we blame a coach, we blame somebody else instead of saying, you know what, get better. You know what, learn a lesson. It's okay to fail. I think for all of us, we've learned some of those valuable life lessons through adversity, through failure, through challenges. It teaches you to pick yourself back up, and it's okay. The only thing that's not okay is not trying. And I think overall we need to teach young people everybody doesn't need to get a trophy and everybody doesn't need to always have a pat on the back. There's times in life that you need to learn those lessons, and I think when you do that at a young age, it really helps us. And I know that when guys come into our program, they're going to know that we're going to tell them the truth, we're going to be honest, we're going to be fair, and if the truth isn't good, we're going to tell them that, we're going to tell them how to get better, and that's how it needs to be. So we've got to recruit young men that understand that.
I think Bo would go play for you right now. We got nods and applause and everything in the audience. And as I said, that I think that philosophy and those kinds of statements are a big reason as to why the town has excitement about the future of the program. Just a matter of them understanding that the success, which has been terrific thus far, in order to sustain it, is going to require you to continue to build the program. Can you at this point, as we said, beginning of the beginning, success over the last few games and 5-1, how do you maintain perspective and how do you keep the team to maintain a perspective?
Our guys will tell you that I think our coaching staff, we're the same people every single day. Whether we win, lose, whatever happens, we come to work the next day and it's business as usual. We're back to work because regardless of what the outcome was, we understand that the field that we've chose to work in, that's a big part of it is the wins and losses. But our guys know that that's not how we're gauging our success. We're gauging our success by continuing to raise the bar, to continuing to move forward as a group and get better. We don't want to be one of those teams that people say, well, at the end of the year they just kind of faded off, or, well, they weren't. No, we're going to be one of those teams that continues to improve. Obviously, night in and night out, the other teams practice and they're trying to do the same thing. There's still going to be some adversity that we experience this season. We've had our challenges. We will have a lot more challenges. But I think now our guys are more prepared to punch those challenges in the mouth and to take them head on like a Mack truck, because we've had some of those experiences. We've proved we can persevere. Now we need to just continue doing that at a higher level.
Curtis, is that consistent approach from the coaching staff help you as a player, help one as a player grow and get better through the season?
Yes.
Thank you.
I mean, it's very simple. I could try to sugarcoat it, but it's very simple. Yes, making sure that you know what the objective is, going out there, executing it, believing and trusting, and continuing to learn and grow from your mistakes or your adversities. Yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you, sir. We're going to take our first break, and we'll come back, talk a little bit more about what's going on with the Runnin' Rebels, talk about Jonah Antonio a bit, because he was absolutely terrific in the second half, especially last night, and then turn our attention to the upcoming schedule, because it is going to get a little bit more difficult in terms of the opposition. New Mexico at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock. It is a blackout. You're encouraged to wear black. Love to see the place full because you know the Lobos will be putting up a big fight. They're an athletic, talented group that Coach Weir will bring in here. So that's 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon for the next run of Rebel game. Fans, remember, after the game or anytime, you can visit or click Finley Toyota. Finley Toyota is the largest Toyota dealer in Nevada. Ask for John Barr. He'll do anything to sell you a car. You're listening to the T.J. Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. Blair brings it out top and gets the ball to Hardy. Hardy waits for Mbake. Directing traffic, gives the ball to Mbake at the top of the key. Now back to Amari. Amari comes left side, throws a lob to Mbake for the slam dunk. Opening play of the Runner Rebels' victory over San Jose State last night. Rebels executed that play a couple of times early, including the second one where Mbake, Curtis, he said he climbed the ladder.
Yep, climbed the ladder.
And caught the ball with one hand and threw it down, and that was really impressive. Part of his double-double night, part of the Runner Rebel victory last night by a final score of 98-87 over San Jose State. Rebels against New Mexico at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, and the head coach, T.J. Otzelberger, visiting with you. Coach, we haven't seen – we saw it at the end of Wyoming game, and then, of course, in overtime, we saw Jonah with that fire and that excitement and that passion that he showed very early on this season. The fans really got excited about. Last night we saw it for most of the game, and it was great to see back. He must be feeling better. Obviously, he's shooting better.
Yeah, his wrist definitely feels better. I think a lot of times with the shooter, you've got the physical part of it, and then you've got the mental part of it. And I think how Jonah gets his rhythm and just kind of gets things going, every shooter or guy that's kind of wired that way, it's a little bit different. And for him, it needed to get back. It's getting back in the flow of the games and practice, catching the ball clean, and then just seeing it go through the hoop again in live competition. I think you could tell when he hit the one in overtime at Wyoming, his confidence and how he was getting the crowd, with our bench going, you could tell, like, all right, he's back. And I think that was clear.
There was a moment last night, and Chris and I were laughing. It was getting toward the end of the game, not quite there yet. The Rebels were up double digits, and San Jose was pressing. The Rebels got the ball across, or were about to get the ball across midcourt, and they were on the sideline kind of near where we are, across from the benches. And Jonah had already parked himself in the corner near the bench and was waving and yelling for the ball. And I don't know if Amari had it. I don't know if Marvin had it. They couldn't have seen him. Their back was to him. But Jonah was ready, and he wanted the basketball. And that's just got to make you happy as a coach to know that he's back at that level.
It does, because that's a dynamic our team really needs, and it takes us to another level. It puts something on defense's mind, and it allows us that spurt ability to get out and transition and knock down shots, help open the floor for our guards to get into the paint. So great to see Jonah playing with that confidence again.
And Mbake, another double-double last night, and he just continues. It's just mark it down.
We need his energy and enthusiasm. We really challenged him. I thought at Wyoming they kind of packed into the paint and didn't really give him that room to run. And we told him we were coming out early, getting him on the move, getting him in space so he can get out and catch those lobs. And first play of the game, we got him going and told him we need that energy. We need that spark. Hardy made a great pass to him, and he went up and got it. And those are the type of plays we need. It's the energy on the glass, offense and defensively, and then just running that floor in transition. When he gets out and goes, he really opens things up for us.
It's fun. And as a guard, Curtis, having a big man run, we'll talk to Marvin about it a little bit later on when we get him up here. But you know that, I mean, Robert always used to talk about it. And by the way, a little update on Robert, continuing to improve. I'm gonna go see him, and we're very, very happy about that. But as a guard, you know that if a big man is putting that effort out there, you got to get him the basketball.
You got to reward the big man. Anytime they put the effort into not is it get a block or get a rebound and then get the outlet, put their head down and sprint the floor, you've got to reward them. And Mbake does that every time. Even Vitaly got one over the top yesterday. But again, it's
Nick did as well, yeah.
I'll call it like I see it. It's so much easier to score if you can score before the defense is set. then you don't got to worry about what they're in or what you need to run. And we've seen that when Mbake will set the tone, he'll sprint down there if they can get him. But if not, it stretches the defense, then it opens up lanes. But no, it's everybody likes to see people run out, get over the tops. Because let's be real, who would want to work for 30, 25 seconds to get a basket if you could get one in eight with a run out? I mean,
no doubt about it. Vitaly also looking more comfortable and being able to do more things for you on the floor.
He's gaining confidence. I think he knows exactly what we expect of him, where he can be productive and help our team. He gives us someone. He can post a little bit on that block and get to his, you know, his little lefty jump hook, and he gets out in space. He can run and knock down a shot here and there. So he's given us some solid minutes lately. We've needed him.
Runner Rebels about to enter a stretch in the schedule. Five games that are going to be extremely difficult. New Mexico at home, up at Reno, San Diego State, who is the lone remaining undefeated team in the country, at home, and then on the road at Colorado State, who put 100-plus on the Lobos yesterday, and then at Utah State, and you know that the Aggies eventually are going to get it figured out, and playing up at Logan is never, ever easy. Do you approach anything differently? Do you talk about the stretch? Do you know how do you prepare for what is a real gauntlet in the Mountain West Conference?
We come to practice tomorrow. We have the best practice we can. We learn everything we can. We get extra shots in. We eat right. We sleep right. We drink a lot of water. We come on Saturday with a tremendous spirit and passion, and we beat New Mexico. And that is what, yep. And then that's what gets us to whatever the game is after that that's not on my radar right now.
Got it.
We worry about one at a time. So to answer your question, we just worry about the next day of practice, and then we'll figure out Saturday getting ready to go beat New Mexico.
I think that's a pretty sound philosophy, and it's worked pretty well to this point. We got some questions off our Twitter line for you, and want to make sure we get to them. There's a question related to our guest, Marvin, and how well he is playing. Obviously, Eli is recovering from the thumb injury, and we talked about it a little bit, but can you give us a status on Eli, and then have you thought at all how it's going to work with Marvin playing as well as he is and Eli returning?
Well, first of all, Eli's status, we believe we're probably 10 days to 2 weeks out from his return, whether that's – it's probably more 2 weeks, probably at the end of the month, maybe the start of February. And so – and then once he is cleared to be back, that doesn't just mean you start playing games right away. It just means, you know, cast is off and he's able to start resuming activities. So – we'll evaluate that, and we'll act in his best interest so that he comes back on the timeline that's best for him. In terms of the starting point guard position, Marvin Coleman has earned the starting point guard position. So there's other opportunities. There's other opportunities that are available on our team where Eli could come in and be impactful and help our team get better and help our team win, but that won't be at the starting point guard position.
Interesting and well said. Coach, we have another. Karen is asking a question. You know, the recruiting class for next year, the kids you've signed or the kids you've gotten committed for, it's a large group, primarily freshmen, only three seniors on this team. And she's asking, how are you going to go about determining how you're going to put your roster together next year, given the fact you have a large class coming in?
For us, it's been the same since we've came in. We want people to be a part of our program that want to uphold the standard at a very high level each and every day. With that being said, in college basketball, the transfer rate has gotten to a point where the average program in a year has 2.5 to 3 transfers that leave the program for one reason or another. We've got young men in our program that are on track to graduate. We have young men in our program that maybe if the playing time isn't what they think it needs to be, might pursue an opportunity out there. We've got guys that have committed to come here that it may be best for them to come next year and be impactful. It might be best for them to take a year to go to a prep school and prepare to get ready to come. So there's a lot of moving parts that go into it right now. At this point, our focus is on our team winning games. We'll get that all sorted out at the end of the season, but I know that the guys that are currently on our roster right now that love being a Rebel, that uphold the standard, that play for the team and the passion, that do right in the classroom and in the community, those guys will be on the team again next year.
We have a question about tempo, and you brought it up earlier, pace and pace of play against San Jose State. Fans are excited about that. A question, are we going to see this a similar tempo to what we saw last night? It was one of the fastest played games of the year, if not the fastest played, in terms of tempo and pace for the Rebels.
Yeah, we always want to get out and run in transition. That's something that we've got to do. And, you know, in order to do that, it requires getting defensive stops. There's not a lot of teams that can play with tempo when you're taking the ball out of the net. So I think based on the San Jose zone defense, I think a lot of times it's harder to get set when you're in a zone. And so we really want to attack it early. We'll continue to want to play fast, but not at the detriment of us, you know, turning the ball over or not getting the shots we want. We would love to get a great shot early in the clock, 5-on-3, 3-on-2, 2-on-1, whatever scenario that is. And when those situations present itself, we're going to capitalize on them. And when they don't, we're going to do a great job moving the basketball, sharing the ball, and waiting for the defense to break down. To me, at the end of it, I'm results-driven, so whatever we need to do to be successful, obviously it's more fun to play fast, but it's got to go a certain way.
The answer is yes, John, 100%. Why make it hard? If we can play fast, awesome. But at the end of the day, like Coach said, whatever you got to do to win, I'm all for it.
I know you are, because you've observed during the games that the Rebels are at their best, whether they're in transition or whether they're moving the ball quickly in the half court. That's when the Rebels are playing their best basketball.
Yeah, 100%. But at the same time, you've got to take what the defense gives you. I mean, there's times where they've been better in the half court, whether, like, again, opening the game, getting the pick and roll and getting the ball up top to Mbake, or if it's out of a set and we're getting Jonah a shot off a pin down, whatever the cases be, you want to get results, like Coach said. Be successful. If that's playing fast, great. If that's playing slow, great. It may not be fun, but...
Or as fun.
Would you rather play fast and lose or play slow as a snail and win? Easy answer for me. I'd say slow as molasses and let's get a win.
But to be clear, Coach, your goal for the Runner Rebel program is to be known as a team that has up-tempo, that is moving the ball up and down the floor and threes or getting to the rim, playing aggressive basketball on both ends of the floor.
It is, and that's been my background. A lot of coaches will say they want to play fast, but then their track record and the way they do things doesn't align with that. I think that's exactly what I've been a part of. At the last two programs I've been at, we've been among the top pace, top three-point shooting, top assist, sharing the ball, and all those things. You'll see some of those traits starting to come out more in our group. It takes the buy-in. It takes sprinting the floor. It takes being in great shape. It takes wanting to be a great teammate. A lot of times to run, it's a guy has to run to the rim as fast as he can. Two guys have to run to the corner as fast as they can. And then you have to keep doing it possession after possession. And we're going to continue cultivating and developing that mindset because we want to brand our program with that up-tempo style of play. That's what's exciting, and that's what we want to do. But, again, it also has to be in our best interest of winning games as well.
Fans love it. I think fans love hearing that. And I think they're excited as this program continues to grow. Coach, how are the kids?
They are doing great. They're healthy and great Christmas, great New Year. They're doing awesome. Excited for the game on Saturday.
Go home and be a dad, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Appreciate it very much. Thanks so
much. Head coach TJ Otzelberger visiting with us. He's going to go home and say goodnight to the kids. We are going to take a break, and we're going to visit with a big kid. Marvin Coleman's going to join us for the second half of the show. You are listening to the TJ Otzelberger Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino, Learfield, IMG College. Marvin Coleman into the front court. Marvin quickly into the front court. All the way down the lane. Left-handed layup is good. Good move by Marvin Coleman. And the Rebel lead is 3, 34-31 with a minute 40 to go. Marvin slicing his way through traffic and getting to the rim late in the first half as the Rebels had a first half lead and then broke the game open in the second half, wound up winning 98-87 to win their fifth conference game in six tries, 5-1, all alone in second place with a very tough road ahead. New Mexico coming to the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield joining us now. Welcome.
Yes, I am here. I'm excited to talk to the three-point marksman.
Yes,
in the middle of the table, Marvin Coleman.
Well, Marvin Coleman is with us, and I just want to read you some numbers because this is Marvin Coleman's season thus far. And I think it's pretty interesting. First regular season game, nada. DNP. Second regular season game, DNP. Third DNP, by the way, is did not play. Third regular season game, DNP. Oh, UCLA, 1 minute. Then 13 minutes. Then 8 minutes, 9 minutes, 1 minute. And then all of a sudden, 27, 26, 33, 30, 30, 25, 37, 33, 26. And points and assists and all of that has grown and grown and grown. We'll bring Marvin in just a second.
What's the record during that spin?
It's been pretty good.
Okay.
It's been pretty good, especially over the last five. But Curtis, I mean, that just doesn't happen where a guy literally doesn't see the floor and then all of a sudden comes on the floor and becomes the unquestioned leader of the team and makes contributions all over the page.
It does happen.
It has happened.
It does happen. But I think that's just a credit. That's a credit to Marvin. I mean, 100%. He was prepared for his opportunity, and he stepped up into the role and has made the most of it and not only figured it out but is running with it. And coach has empowered him with the ability to run this team. And this kid's doing a great job. I mean, everybody in the city, I'm proud of him, but there's so much more because just imagine if he knew this was going to be his role from the onset, what he could do. But his confidence is sky high because he's even got three little slashes back here in his haircut, feeling good about himself.
Styling, style master. All right, let's bring him in. Marvin Coleman joining us. Marvin, thank you so much for doing it.
Thank you for having me.
You heard those numbers, and I'm sure you're aware of them, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But tell us how you've been able to get into that role, which is as difficult a role as there is on the court, and seemingly, you know, step in at this level and then raise it at an even higher level. What was the secret?
There's no secret. I've been playing basketball since I was 5 years old, and I've been a point guard since then. So, you know, as the opportunity presented itself, it was just natural. You know, obviously I gained a lot more confidence. Coach TJ's been instilling confidence in me. You know, my teammates are giving me a lot of confidence. But, you know, each and every game, the only thing that matters is wins. You know, as a point guard, I want to get as many wins as we can, you know, so doing anything I can every day to help our team win is what I'll keep doing.
Well, it certainly is working, and you've helped them win. Steve, it is a remarkable achievement for Marvin to have done this year.
It's an unusual situation, and, you know, we've talked about a lot about this, that the coach was looking someone to rely on, and he's even detailed the fact that Marvin is a leader, but Marvin is also the guy who can be the folks or the guy that TJ screams at, you know, yells at, delivers that message, and that's not always easy. So, kudos to you on that. But your background suggested you dealt with that in the past, right? Who was your high school coach?
Kevin Soares.
Okay, and what kind of coach is he?
Unexplainable.
Yeah.
Unexplainable. He was just like Coach TJ every single day. Any problem, it was on me, and he just wanted the most out of me. You know, it's a credit to him because I feel like he prepared me very well for the situation I'm in right now.
And clearly he did, but I'm sure your family did and other things. I mean, it speaks to what TJ was just talking about a little while ago when we were talking about recruiting and talking about this program and accountability and discipline, those two words. And, you know, we talked a little bit about how those two words don't apply to a lot of kids these days. You're a part of this program now. You're a leader in this program now, like it or not, and I know you love it.
Uh-huh.
But we have talked as a group here about building culture. And, you know, TJ and the coaching staff are hammering it from the top right now. Mm-hmm. But this program really gets good when it comes from you guys in the locker room and on the practice floor and stuff. You're going to be a big part of that.
Right.
Have you thought about that? Have you thought about, you know, you're in the midst of the year, and I know everything's crazy, but have you thought about you and your future at UNLV and the role you're going to play?
Not so much. You know, I just want to take it day by day, year by year. But I know that I'm a leader amongst leaders. You know, a lot of my teammates, we all bring different things to the tables, and if we can keep doing that, you know, the program is going to, you know, it's going to, with Coach TJ and the staff, you know, it's going to come back to excellence.
You know, there's another important element of putting you in a leadership role. I talked to Tim Buckley last week, and he said, we also watch the guys and how they react when they're not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big compliment he said about you, is that your demeanor did not change when you played those 33 minutes over the first nine games. Why is that? Why were you so steady when you weren't playing?
I'm doing, you know, it's I can't really explain it. I'm just, you know, I'm just happy to be here, you know, so to be in a position, whether I'm playing or not, you know, I'm still getting the opportunity every single day. You know, if my minutes weren't, you know, coming, I have to do something better in practice. You know, I have to, you know, look at myself. I'm not looking at anybody else, you know, to do it for me. But, you know, I'm still a team guy. So my teammates, you know, I'm trying to do everything I can, regardless if I'm on the court or not, you know, to have a winning attitude. Because me not playing and me sitting on the bench having a terrible attitude is not going to do anything for me nor my team. So, you know, I just wanted to be that energy guy and, you know, make sure I could do everything to help the team win, even if I wasn't on the court.
This might be next level stuff because you're still fighting to make sure you get your minutes, you play well, you score your points, you know, you become a more well-rounded player. Do you start thinking almost along the lines of leader slash manager and how you deal with different guys on the team?
Oh, yeah.
Like that each one needs a little bit different treatment from Marvin Coleman, the manager?
100%. You know, that goes along with Coach TJ. He does a great job of, you know, putting me in the position to, you know, speak with my teammates how I can. You know, when he yells at me in practice every single day, you know, if guys make mistakes, it makes it easier for me to go to him and, like, you know, just be able to talk to him like, hey, you know, you can't do this, this, and this because if you do that, I'm going to get yelled at. So, you know.
Don't screw up because yeah. I'm going to get yelled at.
Don't mess this up for us, man.
No, but you know, when certain guys go through funks and stuff like that, you know, it helps me, you know, with the position I'm in, you know, to how to talk to certain guys. You know, it's just life skills. You know, you can't just scream at people all the time. You know, you just have to learn how to talk to people. You know, everybody has different strengths and weaknesses.
How about in terms of joking around with them, busting chops? Because I don't know who it was. I thought it might have been you. You can correct me if I'm wrong. So, Mbaké Jiang in the Wyoming game has a chance on a breakout for a big dunk. He jumped a little too early or misstepped, and he hammered it against the front of the rim. And then you guys won. Everyone's jubilant. And all of a sudden, I hear someone busting chops on Mbaké in the back of the bus about that dunk.
Oh, yeah.
Who was that?
We all gave it to him.
Okay.
When we were in the locker room, you know, David Jenkins, he's won the – he goes at all of us anytime we make mistakes. So right after the game, I went to Mbaké. I'm like, I can't wait till we get back to hear what David says to you. but, you know, that's just a character. Like, all of our guys, we're all very close, all 1 through 15. So, you know, anytime we're joking around, it's never, you know, like making fun of each other. We're just, you know, just we're brothers.
David say anything to you about that pass you tried to throw to Shekna last night?
Oh, yeah. They all said something to me.
Curtis said something about you, too.
Yeah, Jonas said something right on the court. David said something during a timeout. You know, any mistake, any time, it's never going to be left out, ever.
No matter how good you do, right?
No, never. Never.
Take us back to that Wyoming game late in the game and the plays you made both toward the end of the game and in overtime and the things you were saying to your teammates because Coach talked about it. TJ said Marvin was the guy who was really being the most vocal about the comeback.
Well, you know, it was frustrating for me because I wasn't having a great game. You know, I was playing in foul trouble, and it hurts because, you know, my team needs me out there right now. So for not to be out there on the bench, you know, I was trying to have a lot of energy, keep guys going. But, you know, towards the end when it was winning time, I was just telling guys, like, you know, we've been here before. We played numerous overtime games, and we know how to win in those situations. So I was just, you know, every huddle on the court, every time out, I was just telling guys, like, we know what we're doing. We're confident in those times that we can win those type of games.
That kind of leadership, I think, is critical. Curtis, you were in that role for the Runner Rebels. You know other guys who've been in that role.
Yeah, I don't want to everybody take it lightly of what Marvin is doing and he's accomplishing. It's not easy, especially with a new coach, and to have your role change a quarter way into the season. It's remarkable what he's doing, but I think what's even more remarkable besides the on-court stuff is how, like Steve said, he's managing his teammates because that's even more important because he's got to deliver that message from coach and then take that to his teammates. But you can't talk to everybody the same because you might say something to Mbaké, and if you say it the same way to Jonah, you might hurt one of their feelings. So I think that's the biggest thing. He's clearly understanding that how to manage personalities because that's the hardest part because you could be the best player, but if you don't have the respect and trust from your teammates – everything else can go out the window. And I don't want it to be taken lightly that what he's doing is just – it's normal, natural. It's very remarkable what he's doing, how much success he's having. I love
it. Well, and it's also – it gets back to what we talked about earlier. I mean, this is a real chance to kind of escalate and accelerate the growth of this program because we've all talked about it. the idea that it can't just come from the coaches. It can't just be you have to behave this way and you have to act this way and you have to do this. It has to come from the locker room.
Right.
And, you know, when at the beginning of the year, Curtis and I were talking about it and, you know, oh, well, it'll take a couple of years for that to happen because, you know, new guys will come in and everything. But if there's a leader, a young leader on the team like Marvin Coleman, all of a sudden that cultural growth and that cultural change can happen much more quickly. And it's something you need to be aware of.
Yeah,
right?
Like you said, I mean, it starts everywhere, in the classroom, in the community, when we're walking around, when we're at our apartment. You know, we all, like I said, I'm a leader amongst leaders, so all my teammates, we do things to, you know, put us in positions to win, but I can't, you know, I can't go out and tell Amari, like, hey, get in the gym if I'm not in the gym. You know, I can't tell him, hey, you can't have a C on this if I'm not doing my work. So it starts with me, but it starts with all of us. You know, we all hold each other accountable, and we all try to do the right things.
I think your defense is a big reason why they got you on the floor. Mm-hmm. Am I right?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Mm-hmm. To this point in the season, who's the best guy you've had to cover?
Because
obviously last night, Seneca Wright was...
Seneca Knight with 30
Seneca
points.
Seneca Knight, yeah, right. Yeah. Seneca Knight was pretty freaking good. Mm-hmm. I thought the Pearson kid, that was one of your early games against Texas State. He was a big, strong kid at 6'5".
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else come to mind where you've been like, whoa, this is a tough matchup?
Honestly, I can't even think of anyone right now off the top of my head because, you know, a lot of times we all play defense together. All five guys play defense. So, I mean, we do a lot of switching now, and it's not just me, you know, playing defense. It's all five of us. So I can't really think of the number one matchup right now. Obviously, Seneca Knight did very well last night. He had 30 points, and that's a credit to him. But I can't really think of one off the top of my head.
All right, we're going to have more with Marvin. When we come back, take a break, get Marvin's thoughts on some other things involving the Runner Rebels, and get you ready for New Mexico on Saturday night. You're listening to the Runner Rebel Coaches Show from Bailiwick inside the Orleans Hotel Casino from Learfield, IMG College. Hardy into the front court to Antonio, back to Hardy. Hardy penetrates, kicks the ball to Jonah. Long three for Antonio. Dingo! Dingo! Jonah Antonio knocking down another three. Made five of them in the game last night, yes.
Did you steal a dingo from John last night, Curtis?
Yeah, because he didn't do it.
Didn't. That's a cardinal sin. Come on.
No, man. It's fine. It was absolutely
Steve,
fine.
The ball was like almost into the front court already.
He
was sitting there. He was sitting there like, yeah! And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do it.
And he
dingo!
Said, okay, I'm going
to
do it. Dingo.
Somebody had to.
As your double dingo.
John Sandler, Curtis Terry, Steve Cofield, like Marvin double. Coleman, having a little bit of fun. Marvin, as maybe you figured out, mm-hmm. we've adopted the, instead of bingo, we've dingo? Adopted dingo okay. for Jonah when he makes a three
okay.
As the call. How much fun is it playing with a guy like that when he's going? Oh, he just got it. Well done. There you go. That's a football player. How much fun is it playing with a guy when Jonah is as confident as he has been in the last game and a little bit as the point guard? Did you see him call for the ball last night?
I did. No, I seen him. He was calling for the ball every time he got to the corner. But, you know, it's very funny, especially because, you know, as a point guard, you want to get as many assists as you can. So, you know, to find Jonah anytime and he makes a three, that's better than scoring three points myself. Sorry, excuse me. But it's very exciting, you know, just to see how much, you know, work he puts in and stuff like that, and, you know, what he's been through with his thumb and his wrist and everything to, you know, it's paying off for him. It's very rewarding.
You are a Vegas kid. We've mm-hmm. talked about that. Mm-hmm. How, you know, TJ talked about it. How mm-hmm. important is it for you to represent this program well, both on the court and off?
It's very important. I think about it every single day. Because not just for myself, for my family, but, you know, there's a lot of kids in the community who look at me and, you know, want to be like me, you know, be at their hometown school or even playing college basketball. So, you know, just having that chip on my shoulder and just, you know, carrying it the right way every single day is very important.
Local kids in the recruiting class next year, you know mm-hmm. that, a lot of mm-hmm. local kids. Does that give you some pride?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually pretty close with a couple of them. Me and Donovan, yeah, we played AAU together. So just having all those guys, you know, it makes it feel more of a family. And hopefully the community, you know, wrap around us more when they see we have a lot of local guys.
So you're on a roll now. You're playing really well. You've established yourself. You heard Coach say you are the starting point guard for the Runner Rebels. How much fun are you having in the community with friends and family and you know, after a win or just being around?
I'm trying to stay the same. You know, recently I got off social media just because, you know, I want to limit distractions. So I'm really just keeping it with my close family and friends that, you know, have been there from the beginning, and my teammates, because that's all that matters right now. So it's been the same.
What does that mean, distractions on social media? What happens to a player sometimes on social media?
I mean, you can get caught, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people saying, you know, I'm doing well and doing, you know, a lot of guys can take that to their head and not, you know, play the right way, or, you know, guys can be playing bad, you know, fans can be bashing them or, you know, just stuff like that. So, you know, you got to always stay level-headed. So just, you know, keeping those out of the way.
See, and Curtis is nodding right now because he did the same thing. He didn't open a letter, push the button on his answering machine, none of that when he was playing.
I'm not that old, John. No, but it's funny, though, because that does play a factor in it, and I didn't have to deal with that. I mean, Facebook was the cool thing when I just got into college, and before that it was MySpace. Bo, you'd have been in my top eight. I think that's huge. But I'm curious, why are you so passionate? You said it's about representing and doing right, but, like, what drives your passion to be successful at UNLV? Because it's not just because you're from here. Like, at your core, what drives you every day?
My family. Growing up, my mother, it was just me, my mother, and my sister. And now I have two little brothers who look up to me. And it's just, it's all about them. I say after every game, I tell my mom, all for my four. You know, my two little brothers, my sister, and my mom.
That's terrific. Yeah. And it is certainly paying off. And we're very much looking forward to seeing Marvin Coleman lead this Runner Rebel program into the future. It starts on Saturday. You know it's going to be a tough one, a tough stretch coming up, but you're focused on the Lobos. And I know you're going to want to see a lot of your fellow Las Vegans in the Thomas and Mack.
Wearing black. I'm already ready, if you can't tell. Coach was, too.
Yeah, he was. He was ready for the blackout.
Let's do it.
He was. But it's a blackout on Saturday, a 3 o'clock tip against New Mexico. Runner Rebels looking for their sixth win in conference play in seven tries. 3 o'clock with the tip, 2:30, Runner Rebel warm-up. That's going to do it for us here tonight, as we appreciate everybody who came out, for Coach, for Steve, for Curtis, for Marvin, for Nick, for Jared, for Ari. This is John saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you and see you at the Thomas and Mack on Saturday afternoon. Have a great evening, everybody.
Live from Bailiwick, inside the Orleans Hotel and Casino, you've been listening to the Runnin' Rebels Basketball Coaches Show, brought to you by State Farm. Go with the one that's here to help life go right. Talk to an agent today at 800-STATE-FARM. And by Chevron. It's proven. No gasoline gets better mileage than Chevron with Techron. Care for your car. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Rebel Sports Network.